Numbers 23. I'm going to read one verse of scripture tonight, verse 22. Amen. Numbers 23 and 22. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm just thankful again to be in the house of the Lord. Glad for the faithfulness of God. Amen. For his blessing. Amen. Upon our lives. Amen. And run into the storm. Look at your neighbor and say, the book of Numbers, as we set here, amen, the foundation, the context of what is happening. Israel has been delivered from Egypt, amen. They are in pursuit of the promised land, amen. They are moving forward into what God has promised them, amen, as an inheritance, as they have been delivered, amen, from Egypt. And at this point, the journey had led them into the territory of King Balak of Moab. Amen. King Balak, who was the king over Moab, they were now moving into his territory. And the Bible lets us know that he wanted to weaken them. Amen. And so he sent for a man named Balaam. Amen. Balaam was a diviner, or what we would call a wicked prophet. Now understand that he was not an Israelite, amen. And so the word prophet here, amen, is used very loosely. He was more of a soothsayer or a diviner, as the Bible says, amen. And he was not an Israelite, but he considered himself a priest diviner, amen. So a priest diviner was one that was devoted to every god. So that would be every idol god, amen, even the god of Israel, amen. But every god that was believed to exist in, amen, he was a devoted, amen, or a devotee to every god, amen. But he was considered, amen, had a reputation for cursing. Amen. So he was a wicked prophet or a diviner or a soothsayer. Amen. And he was one that would go before all gods. Amen. Idol gods, pagan gods, all the gods that they felt existed. And he had a reputation for cursing. Amen. Those gods. And so King Balak had to travel 400 miles to petition Balaam. So it was not an easy journey. It was not a simple task. So he had to send word, amen, to Balaam 400 miles, amen. Now Balaam knew of the God of Israel, probably because of the reputation of his works, probably because of what he had heard that God did for Israel in Egypt when he delivered them out, and he gave them miracles, and he gave all of the signs and all of those things, amen. So he knew of the God of Israel, amen. And so Balak, King Balak, sent word to Balaam, and he said, I want you to curse Jacob for me, and I want you to denounce Israel. So I want Jacob to be cursed, and I want Israel to be denounced. Amen. So you got to understand that this was just months before their entrance into the Canaan land. So we know that the 40 years have passed in the wilderness. Amen. And the next generation had now came up and was now ready to enter into the Canaan land. And so this was just months before this was about to take place. So they were just on the brink of their breakthrough. They were just on the brink of entering into the promises that God had made them, the land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. That land into which God said, I've already given it to you. Amen. So we know that this was also just before Moses was about to die. See, that's the reason that Balak wanted to curse Jacob, because he is the one. I mean, Joshua was getting ready to take over for Moses, and he wanted a man, Jacob, cursed because this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. So he wanted this curse to be upon them. Amen. And so Balak wanted to prevent the blessing. It wasn't so much that he wanted to kill them. He simply wanted to prevent the blessing. He did not want the blessing to take place. Can I tell you tonight that the enemy doesn't care how many times we come to church? He really doesn't matter to him how often we pray. It really doesn't matter to him how often we read the word. What matters to him is if he can prevent us from walking in the covenant blessing of God. It's because when we walk in the covenant blessings of God, just as Louise described tonight, then we have a witness that God is for us and not against us. We have a witness to those that are around us and to the world that our God is unlike any other God. We have a witness and a testimony, amen, that we are his people and he is our God. So King Balak wanted to prevent the blessing, and that's what the enemy wants to do from you. That's why he will try to pull you, distract you, amen, stop you, hinder you, because if he can keep you from making progress in obedience, amen, because the obedience to the word of God is what brings us, amen, and what releases the covenant blessing. It is what takes us, amen, into the fullness of revelation of who God is. Amen. So the enemy isn't really concerned with how often you do, amen, the things that pertain to God. It's when you understand who God is and you understand the blessing that you have in the covenant. Amen. So he wanted, amen, to prevent the blessing. But God said this to Balaam. He said, you can't put a curse on them because they are blessed. He said, you cannot put a curse on them because they are blessed. In other words, you can't cancel the covenant. You cannot cancel the covenant. Amen. You cannot cancel what God has already established. Can I tell you that nothing can remove the blood from the mercy seat of heaven? Nothing can take away, hallelujah, the source of the covenant tonight. The blood of Jesus cannot be erased. Amen. And so God said, amen, to Balaam. He said, you cannot curse, put a curse on them because I've already blessed them. So Balaam sent word back to King Balak. Amen, amen. And so what Balak did was he sent more officials. Amen. And he sent a better or a bigger reward. See, he was offering Balaam money. Amen. He was paying him. That's not something that they did for free. A soothsayer or a diviner is someone, amen, that you pay. Kind of like a fortune teller, if I can say it like that. And so the gifting was real. The gifting was not something that was, amen, not real. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, all right, I'm going to send some bigger officials, amen, and I'm going to send a much bigger reward. And so maybe, just maybe, he'll do what I said he'll do, amen. But God told Balaam, he said, you can go with them, amen. Told Balaam, he said, you can go with them, praise God, but amen, you cannot. You have to only do what I tell you to do. So he told Balaam, he said, you can go to Balak, but you cannot do anything other than what I tell you to do. Amen. This is when we know the story in the previous chapter, chapter 22. It's the story where Balaam is set out on the donkey. Amen. And the angel of the Lord with the sword stands in front of him. Amen. And the donkey moves. Amen. Out of the way, praise God, and because of the angel, amen. And Balaam smote the donkey, amen. And so the donkey and the angel never moves, so the donkey moves again a second time out of the way. Balaam starts beating the donkey again, saying, move, go, amen. The donkey refuses to go because the donkey sees the angel a third time. The donkey, amen, moved out of the way to try to, amen, miss the angel. Balaam was beating the donkey. Finally, God spoke through Balaam, through the donkey, unto Balaam. Amen. God spoke through that donkey and told Balaam, there's an angel there. Amen. Praise God. And this, hallelujah, amen, rebuked him and said, why are you beating him? Amen. The angel said, this donkey saved your life. Hallelujah. Because if he had not moved out of the way, you would have been killed. Amen. And so it was there, amen, that we see
what's happening here with Balaam and how God is using him. And so we see that Balaam gets to Balak, to King Balak, amen, and he took him up on a high place, amen, took him up on a high place. I can't remember the exact name, but it was something Baal, amen, but he took him up on a high place. And as he was up there on the high place, he could look and see all of the children of Israel as they were journeying and making their way, amen, toward the promised land, amen, going through, amen, toward Moab, hallelujah. And he offered up 14 sacrifices on 7 altars. Balaam built 7 altars there and offered up 2 sacrifices on each altar. But God, amen, came down, amen, and spoke again to Balaam. And Balaam said, how can I curse those who God has not cursed? He said, how can I denounce those who God has not denounced? We're living in a cancel culture. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what King Balak wanted to do to Israel. He wanted to cancel them. He wanted to act as if they had never even existed. This cancel culture, when you go against anything, amen, that certain groups or against the culture that they think you shouldn't, then they want to cancel you just as if you never existed. Doesn't matter how well known you were. Doesn't matter how well you were liked. They want to cancel you just as if you never existed. And this is what Balak wanted to do to Israel. And this is what the enemy wants to do to you. Amen. He wants to cancel your position. He wants to cancel, amen, the covenant in your life. Amen. But Balak, amen, did not like it. Amen. He wanted a spiritual curse upon them so that they could be defeated in battle. Can I remind you tonight that if God be for us, who can be against us? I said, if God, who God, the God of who? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the I Am, if he be on your side, it doesn't matter who is against you. Hallelujah. You are already victorious. Amen. So he wanted a spiritual curse. Again, he didn't want them necessarily physically dead. He just wanted a spiritual curse on them to lift that blessing and that favor off of their life. Hallelujah. Amen. But Balak wouldn't bribe God to curse them. Balak tried to bribe God, amen, to curse them, and God, of course, would not. Balaam would have reversed the curse if he were able, but he wasn't able. We preached on that a little bit, amen, that portion of scripture Sunday morning. We referenced Numbers 23, the same chapter on Sunday morning when we preached about won't God will do it. Amen. He would have reversed it if he could, but you see, Israel was different because their God was different. He was able to curse all these other idol gods because they were not truly real living gods. But now he's up against the living God, the true and living God. He has no idea who he's up against. Amen. He said, if I could reverse it, I would. But I cannot reverse, hallelujah, this blessing. I can't turn this blessing into a curse. Hallelujah. Because Israel was different. Amen. He said, who can count the dust of Jacob? Who can even count the dust of Jacob? That goes right back to the promise of Abraham. As the sands of the seas, I will multiply you, Abraham. Hallelujah. And Balaam said, who can even count the dust of Jacob? Who can even number a quarter of Israel, he said? Who can even number a fourth of them, let alone trying to come up with a total amount? In other words, it'll be impossible. I like to look at it like this. Amen. There might be 2 that go down, and there might be 2, amen, that go against God and go the way, amen, of Balaam. But where there's two, there's four that'll say we're not bowing. There's four more that'll say we're not giving in. So how can you even number, put a number on them? We know that their number was in the millions. Hallelujah, when they came out of Egypt. I'm not sure how many off the top of my head passed away in the wilderness, but there was a great multitude. The enemy would like for us to think that we are the minority. Hallelujah. He would like for us to think, amen, that we are the least among the voices in the world. But can I tell you the only reason that the enemy seems like he's gaining ground is because his voice is louder. That's the only reason. Come on, somebody. Amen. Praise God. It's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil, right? Hallelujah. It's simply because the voice is louder. Amen. But see, he said, who can even put a number on them? Hallelujah. Amen. And so Balak now says to Balaam, what have you done to me? What is it that you have done? Why? You have a reputation. I'm offering you a great reward. I've went to a lot of trouble. I traveled 400 miles to get to you. Amen. You have a reputation for cursing these gods. What have you done to me? What is it? What is keeping this from taking place? Amen. Amen. So now there was a second attempt. Amen. Now it's a second attempt. Praise God. He came to another place where, amen, you can only see the outer part of them. Now remember, when he first, amen, went up on a high place where he could see all of the children of Israel. It was up there that he could see all of the children of Israel. Now he takes him, amen, to another place where he can only see the outer part of them. See, he wanted to change the word that was over them. So we hope by changing the place that he can change the word. See, because Balaam saw them when he took Balaam on a high place. Balaam's natural eye could see the great number, a multitude. He said, who can even number a quarter? How many can even, could you even count a quarter of those people? Amen. Who's able to count the dust of Jacob? He said, you can't even put a number on a fourth of them. And so Balaam, amen, Balak thought, well, I'll take him to a little lower place. Amen. To where he won't be able to see only the outer edge of them. And maybe, just maybe, if I change the perspective that Balaam had, maybe the prophecy would change. Maybe if Balaam could see just the outer part of them and not the whole, that he will change that prophecy. Amen. But listen, he built seven more altars. But God rebuked Balak this time. Amen. This time God rebuked King Balak. Hallelujah. He said to Balak, he said, rise up and listen to me. Hallelujah. Rise up, Balak, and listen to me. And then Balaam began to speak. He began to say, God is not man that he could lie. Hallelujah. He isn't a human that he will change his mind. Hallelujah. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he keeps a promise. Hallelujah. God is now again. Amen. Remember, we talked about that on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. We referenced that when we were preaching. Amen. About the word of God. Amen. He says, I'm ordered to bless when he blesses. Come on, you hear me? Balaam said, I am ordered to bless when God blesses. In other words, even, amen, your enemies will bless you. The wealth of the wicked into the hands of the righteous. Hallelujah. I'll make your enemies, amen, be at peace with you. They will bless you. Because when God says you are to be blessed, then you will be blessed. Can somebody, hallelujah, give the Lord praise? Amen. That's translated in the Hebrew there. Balaam said, God has ordered me to bless them. You understand that? There isn't a thing the enemy can do about the covenant power of the Lord God. There's nothing the enemy can do about the blood. Hallelujah. There's nothing he can do to change it, erase it, wipe it away. Hallelujah. When he has to step back, he's got to step back. Balaam said, when he orders me to bless, hallelujah, I'm ordered to bless when he blesses. Come on, somebody, give the Lord some praise right there in this house. This is what's got to understand the season now that the people were in. We know that Israel, amen, as they journeyed in the wilderness for 40 years, we know that the first generation, amen, had to die out because of their lack of faith, their disobedience. And now, amen, they're raised up that next generation. And I told you that they were months away from entering into the promised land. Moses was about to die. Hallelujah. So the season, amen, that the people were in, hallelujah, it was, amen, they were obviously walking in obedience. So this season that they were in, that God was getting ready to bless them, and God was getting ready to prosper them, was obviously because they were walking in obedience. And so can I tell you tonight that the season that, amen, that we are in, we are in troubled times. Amen. It's no mystery. Hallelujah. That things are, amen, we are in trouble. And it's no mystery that we're encountering, amen, warfare. Unlike any other time. We've talked about it, preached about it, told about it all, amen, the last couple of years, amen, especially, amen, this year, hallelujah. But listen, that season, amen, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials when you've come, when they've come against you, amen, it's because you have stood for the truth. Remember what Scripture says we preached. Amen. When we preached Sunday morning. Hallelujah. That when you resist wickedness, you become a prey. You become a target. Hallelujah. So can I tell you tonight, let me encourage the few of you that are here tonight, amen, to stand in the midst of the test. This season that you are in is obviously because you have chosen to walk in obedience. And now there's nothing the enemy can do, despite what's going on in the world, despite what, amen, the government is doing, what they've conspired, what's on the horizon, despite what the new calendar year brings, despite whatever is taking place, it's your season. Do you understand? Because you have chosen to walk in obedience. So don't deny the season, the harvest that's due of your season. Hallelujah. It's not, amen, by coincidence tonight. So this season, that's why, amen, think of it. They were just months away from walking into their promise. God was with them, and he found no wickedness. He was with them, and he found no wickedness. This is why we've got to seek holiness.
Right.
We've got to seek to honor God with our lives.
Amen.
And all that we do. Amen? He was with them. And Balak even said, Balaam even said, the shout of a king is among them. The shout of a king is among them. Now remember, they never had a king. They haven't had a king. But you know what the shout of the king, what that means? That happens. The shout of the king happens when the king returns from battle with victory and spoils. That's the shout of the king. Amen. It's not, oh king, oh hail king. Amen. But when the king comes back from conquering, amen, the enemy nation, when a king comes back, amen, and he's carrying the victory and the spoils, amen, and the blessing, hallelujah, they begin to shout and the shout of a king was among them. So they were already victorious. They were already, amen, overcomers. Amen. They had, listen, verse 22. Amen. Back to our original scripture. It says, amen. Go, if you will, go back to that for me. God brought them out of Egypt. Now, it's interesting. When you look at the verb tense in the Hebrew, amen, the verb tense in the Hebrew describes an ongoing action. See, that seems to us in the English that it's past tense. God brought them out. That's done and over. But in the Hebrew language, the verb tense here is an ongoing action. So what it really says, amen, is that God brings them out. Amen. God brings them out. So what is happening here, amen, is he delivered them from Egypt. If I can put that in hillbilly terms, he delivered them from Egypt, and he will continue delivering them, bringing them into the Canaan as he had promised. Amen. So he just didn't bring them out, hallelujah, for them to just to wander around or not know what to do. But if he brought them out of Egypt, he was going to continue to deliver them and take them into the Canaan land. So he brings them out. Salvation is an ongoing process. You understand? I'm in a continual state of deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So he was bringing them out. He brings them out. So that's why they can have the shout of a king among them, as if they had already taken. They had no idea what lie ahead of them. But he delivered them from Egypt. And he'll continue to deliver them, bringing them into the Canaan as he had promised. Now, he hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Now, the unicorn is not the mystical rainbow that we perceive today. That's mystical. That's actually New Age. But don't matter. This translated 9 times into wild ox. A wild ox in the scripture is interpreted as a buffalo. This is where I'm going. So all of that I've already said to get here. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Israel had no idea what they were going to face. All they knew was that God gave them a promise. They watched the old generation die out because of disobedience, and they saw the consequences of that. They had a word from God. They had chosen to walk in obedience, so they were in a season of blessing. They were in a season of victory. They were in a season, even though they had not entered into the promised land yet, they were in that season, and they were going, but they had no idea. They had no clue that the enemy was observing them as they journeyed. They had no idea that King Balak was up on the high place, watching their progress. He knew they were on their way. This is why he sent, amen, the officials to go 400 miles to, amen, to Balaam, the diviner, the soothsayer, to get him to curse them, because he wanted to prevent them from receiving the blessing. He wanted to defeat them in battle. So he had all intentions of fighting them. They had no idea that they were being watched. Can I tell you that the enemy is paying attention?
Come on.
Yeah. Yes, come on.
Yes. He's paying attention. And he's watching. And he sees. You may not know it. Amen. But the Bible says that God gave them the strength of a buffalo. When you read that and translate that in the Jewish Bible. God gave them the strength of a buffalo. Now, a buffalo is a very hardy, disease-resistant animal. Very hardy. It's very hard for a buffalo to get a disease. is they're a very disease-resistant animal. They live long, typically live long, productive lives. They start producing at 3 years old. They can live very long, productive lives. And they do well trekking mountains. They do well moving through mountains. Amen? Praise God. And when you listen, amen, here's what I want us to look at. See, Egypt was where they came, was where Israel came from. Amen. Now they were headed to the promised land. They had no idea what lie ahead of them. They had no idea the temptations and the things that were going to befall them when they entered into the promised land. They really did not know. They did not have the grasp of what it was. So they were really being led into a storm. God was leading them into, amen, a storm. They were going to have to fight. They were going to have to resist. They were going to have to, amen, go right into resisting. The Bible says that God said, I've given it to you, but you got to take it when you get there. Amen. So all the ites were there in the promised land. We know that, right? Amen. Praise God. But there's a difference between buffalo and cattle will sometimes, especially in places like Colorado and places like that, environments, they will often, amen, be in the wild together. Amen. But a cow, when a storm is coming, a cow will typically run away from a storm. Amen. A cow will typically try to run away from a storm. Amen. Much like us. Amen. Praise God. We tend to run away from storms. Amen. We tend to avoid the storms. When a storm is coming, amen, we tend to run away. See, but here's the thing. A cow is not real fast. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's only so much strength in us. Amen. In our physical ability. Amen. That's why when we are at our weakest, that's when his strength is perfected in us. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But they cannot outrun the storm. So what happens, amen, is that the storm catches up with the cattle pretty quickly because they cannot outrun the storm. And so now they are enduring and dealing with time and pain and frustration, amen, because they're trying to outrun the storm, amen. But the storm will catch up with them quicker than they can run. But you see, buffaloes are different. Buffaloes will wait for the storm to cross right over the crest of the peak of the mountaintop. Amen. They'll see that the storm is coming and they'll wait for that storm, amen, to cross right over the crest of that mountain peak. And as the storm would roll over the ridge, amen, they'll turn and they'll change, amen, and charge directly into the storm. Amen. So unlike the cattle who turn and run away from the storm, they go into the direction of the storm. The buffalo will literally go into the storm. See, they run at the storm, and then they'll end up running straight through it. Amen. See, this really minimizes the pain. This minimizes the time. This minimizes the frustration that they experience from the storm. Amen. See, it's the same storm that the cows, amen, would encounter, but the same storm that the cows encounter from running from it cause more damage and pain and loss of time and frustration than it did the buffalo who waited for it to, amen, crest, hallelujah, and then they would change direction and run into the storm, hallelujah. And see, that's the difference, amen, and God gave them the strength of a buffalo. They had no idea the storm that God was leading them into, amen, but they just knew that wherever God was leading them, that somewhere on the other side of what they couldn't see had to be the promise and the blessing and the light that God had said that he would give to them. And see, the buffalo worked together they're with the herd. Amen. They don't scatter and they don't try to do their own thing, but they work together with the herd and they stay together for protection. The stronger buffalo lead and guide the group. Amen. This ensures that the weaker and the younger ones are kept safe. Amen. So instead of running from the storm, they run into the storm. And see, God gave, amen, the Israelites, amen, Balak said, amen, Balaam said, God gave them the strength. He delivers them. He brought them. He brings them out of Egypt. And if he's bringing them out of Egypt, he's going to deliver them and bring them into the Canaan land. He might be leading them into a storm, but they're not going to turn and run from it like the previous generation. But they're going to run right into the direction of the storm, because they know that just on the other side of it, amen, they're going to pass the storm clouds. Eventually, they're going to get past the storm clouds, and there's going to be light on the other side. Hallelujah. It may be a little difficult for a moment. It might be wet, and it might be, amen, hard to deal with. But they know they'll eventually be on the other side of the storm clouds. And that's what God was giving them, the strength that when they encountered King Balak, and they encountered the resistance, that they would have the strength of a buffalo, that no matter how hard the storm, that if they stayed together and the stronger ones led the way and kept the younger ones safe, made sure to, we've said it before, the enemy wants to divide the body of Christ. He wants people to feel like they should be isolated. He wants to separate you. Amen. When he has separated us as a people, not you from the people. Amen. And the enemy wants you. And so what will happen is you'll be like those the cow. You'll run from the storm. But if you stay with the herd, you go head into the storm. Because eventually you're going to be on the other side of the storm clouds. Eventually the storm clouds run out. Mm-hmm. I will never forget. Isn't it funny how you remember things when you're a kid? just little things and moments that, in life that you remember. But I remember, I'll never forget as a kid, being in the back seat of our car. Mom was driving on the freeway, and I was in the back seat of the car, and it was pouring the rain. And all of a sudden, we were going same freeway. She hadn't turned, nothing, and the rain was gone. I looked back, it was still raining behind me,
but
it wasn't raining where we were. That's the first time I realized that when it was raining where I was, didn't mean it was raining where somebody else was. You know what I mean? Like, how can we be in the same vicinity and these people are dry, and we're wet? Because eventually the storm clouds run out. That's how you can see rain. You never drive into rain. It's raining up there. You can see it driving into it. Because the storm clouds have a position. And it's easy to turn when you see the storm and try to run from it. But it's coming at you. And you're never going to be able to outrun the storm, spiritually speaking. So God said, I give you the strength to go headlong into the direction of the storm. Bear down, prepare yourself. That's why it is important, and the enemy sees you when you show up for service and you worship when it feels like it don't matter.
When you praise Him, when it feels like it's not changing anything. When you pray, even when it feels like you're praying against a brass wall. Amen. When you are faithful and you declare the word, even when circumstances look different. Amen. You say, I'm going head into the storm. I'm going to go right into the direction of the storm. Amen. I'm going to prepare myself and we're going to get through it. Have you ever driven through a storm? Didn't have a choice, right? You've been traveling and there's nowhere to go. Amen. You can't turn around. You have to go right into the storm. Sometimes you have to pull over because it's raining so hard, but you can't turn around. You got to keep going. And God said, I gave them the strength of a buffalo that could trek the mountains, that would look at the storm and instead of running from it, would wait for it to crest and then change direction and go into the storm on purpose. See, some might say that's stupid. No, it's the cows that are stupid. It's the ones running from the storm. Come on. I'd rather see what's coming than have to keep turning and look behind me to see if what's coming is caught up with me yet.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Going into it. And he said, I gave them the strength. God has given us the strength. We have a covenant promise that we can endure the storm. We will get through because on the other side, somewhere the storm clouds will run out. See, Balak was mad now at Balaam and refused to give him a reward. He was mad now because Balaam wouldn't curse Israel, wouldn't cancel Israel, wouldn't denounce them, wouldn't just act as if they never even existed. The Bible says that Balaam reminded King Balak, I told you in the beginning when you came to me that I could only speak what God spoke to me. See, that was now keep in mind how God used this priest diviner who was a false worship, but he was a soothsayer. God used him to reveal his presence. And the Bible says that Balaam gave him four more prophecies, if you will. He told him there's going to be a star come out of Jacob. Mm-hmm. That'd be the Messiah. Mm-hmm. He said, there's going to be a star that's going to come out of Jacob. He said, there's going to be a scepter rise out of Israel. In other words, a king. Mm-hmm. So guess what, king? You're already defeated. God's already got this taken care of. God's already so far ahead of them that he has already spoken and said there's going to be a Messiah come from them and there's going to be a scepter rise out of them. So that means they are not going to be canceled.
Right.
He didn't say when it was going to happen.
Right.
So he said, guess what? There's no cursing then. There's no canceling that covenant because God's already got a plan. God's already got a purpose, and that's what you have to understand about you and I and our life, and not just personally, but for the body of Christ, for the church, amen, with a capital C, amen, the bride of Christ. God's already got a plan and a purpose, so these storms that are here, amen, are meant to be. We got to go headlong into them, amen, and know that God's given us the strength of a buffalo, amen, to make it through, praise God, a hardy animal.
animals that are disease resistant. We don't have to be affected by every part of sin and everything that comes to try to infect us and try to weaken us and try to bring us in a sickly state spiritually. We don't have to be subjected to that because God is with us. We are in a covenant with God that cannot be canceled. The blood of Jesus is with us.
Amen.
And he also said, he's also going to crush the head of the Moabites. Balak was the king of Moab. So now, not only will there be a Messiah, not only will there be a king, but you will be destroyed.
Right.
So in other words, you're already defeated. It's done. Because God brings them out every time. He didn't just bring them out once. He didn't just brought them out of Egypt. He brings them out every time. He delivers them every time they need deliverance. Every time they need breakthrough, God will set it up. God has already got it. So you are already defeated. See, that's what we got to remember about the enemy. We talked about that last week as well. Amen. You got to remember the enemy is already defeated. He is already defeated. You do not have to defeat him. Amen. He's already defeated. What you have to do is put faith in the word that says he is defeated. Amen. And therefore, he will not have power over you. Do you understand that? He has already been conquered. Hallelujah. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil, they are destroyed. It's already done. Amen. So the enemy, the adversary, is wasting his time trying to convince you, amen, that you are in trouble or that you are halted or that it's not going to happen because God is bringing you out.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So in other words, God's enemies were already cursed. So here's Balak trying to curse God's people when he was already cursed by God.
Amen.
The irony of that. He's trying to curse Jacob and cancel the covenant of God. And God says, look, buddy, you're already cursed. And you said, well, what if you didn't believe it? Well, the blessing couldn't be reversed. The curse couldn't happen. This is the first God that the curse could not work. Are you with me? Balaam's reputation. See, here's the thing. Those priest diviners, those soothsayers like Balaam, he wasn't worried so much about his reputation. He wanted that reward money. Don't even get me started on preachers and so-called pastors and preachers and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists that act like they're concerned, but all they're out for is this. They're out there, stronger now, more prevalent than ever before, but God's exposing. God's opening. God's revealing. Watch it. It's happening. You may not know it. Amen. Praise God. But it's happening. And there's going to be people. There's people. Hear me. There's people coming out from under those types of bondages that are traumatized, that are broken, that have been spiritually abused. And they need somewhere to go to get healing.
Yes. Right.
To where the deception can be broken off of their lives.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, hallelujah, it's happening right here where we are. Amen? Praise God. So what did he do? Balaam figured out a way later on how to get his reward. He figured out how he was going to get it. Because see, God had given them the strength of a buffalo Amen. They turned and they went right into the storm. They run into the storm, and that's what we got to do in this hour, in this season. But he advised the Moabites. So now what Balaam did was he figured out a way to get that money. So he advised the Moabites on how to entice the people of Israel with prostitutes and idolatry. So he said, here's what you need to do. Let them in. Go ahead and let them come through, because they have to go through. And we can't change that. We can't curse that. We can't reverse the blessing. We can't change this thing. So they're coming through. So no matter what the enemy says, you're going to take back what he's stolen from you. Right? You're going to go through places that he doesn't want you to go through. But listen to me. Amen? He said, here's what I want you to do. Here's how you can do it. Entice them with prostitutes and idolatry. So what he did, since he couldn't get God to put a curse on them, he got them to curse themselves.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, come on.
That's where we're at today. That's why so many people within the church are not walking in the blessing.
Right.
Because they can allow the enticements. And don't even get me started. I've been mulling something that I wanna say so strongly. I feel it. I've been mulling it over in my mind and the time to just feel like saying it, but idolatry is a big issue in the forefront right now in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Even within the church. And so he couldn't get God to curse them. So he got them to put a curse on themselves. And the Bible says that as a result of that, 24,000 of them died. So think of that. Those 24,000 that went ahead, pushed through. I told you they didn't realize the storm that was ahead of them. They didn't realize what the enemy had set up to try to distract them and to destroy them and to prevent them from walking in the blessing. And so now 24,000 of them had died. Can I tell you, there's always a remnant that refuses to bow.
Yes.
I said it earlier, where there's two that'll give in, there's four that'll stand. And that's just a number. It's nothing scriptural about that. It's just double the two that went down, the four will stay up. Twice that. So it may feel like that you're outnumbered. But there's always a remnant. God has always had a remnant that refused to bow. You see, Balaam is referred to in the New Testament. So this is just not an Old Testament thing. This is a spiritual issue here. The situation with Balaam is a spiritual issue. And Jesus even referred to it in the book of Revelation. Speaking to the churches. You've allowed Balaam to be your God. You've allowed the voice of Balaam. It's referred to in the New Testament. How is it referred to in the New Testament? False teachers, financial gain, idolatry, and sexual immorality. You know, I used to say it a lot. I haven't said it in a while. You know, but the enemy doesn't come in and start screaming, sex, drugs, rock and roll, yeah. Right? He doesn't come in the front door and always say, all right, I'm here to take you out.
Right.
I'm going to take your daughter, your son, your finances, your health, your marriage, your family. I've come to wipe you out. Step aside. He doesn't always show up like that. Can I tell you something? And this is where we are today. This is where we are today. It is nothing new. But idolatry and sexual immorality has always been Satan's back door. That's how he gets in your house. sexual immorality, or idolatry. You may think, well, he takes that backdoor approach. So he just sneaks in. Bible talks about silly women creeping in unaware, right? So he just creeps in the back door, takes his time, uses all of these other things, and then slowly he begins to take control, little by little, till pretty soon he has access to the whole house. He knows the code to your security system.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he knows where the keys to the safe is. He knows your habits. He knows your routines. He knows everything. And so it's those two things. Sexual immorality or idolatry has always been the enemy's backdoor approach. Started in the garden. And what do you see today? Our world is running rampant with either sexual immorality or idolatry.
Right.
And if you knew the exposure that's been happening in the kingdom, in the church, capital C, those are the two things that's being brought to light in several large scale ministries. People that have taken money, financial gain, they've set up. There's sexual immorality that's been exposed, that's been covered up, that's been pushed aside, that's been allowed to stay in leadership, and idolatry. Man idolatry, preacher idolatry is heavy in the church culture. Those are the two things. When you look at the exposure that's happening, those are the two, everything roots in either sexual immorality or idolatry. And it's always been Satan's backdoor approach. And that's the danger of Balaam. And the New Testament speaks about that. But you see, the remnant has the strength of the buffalo.
Right.
When I felt that this is what the Lord wanted me to preach, I'm like, how am I going to preach on a buffalo? I don't even know if buffalo is in the Bible or not. Then I start running reference, and I'm like, but that says unicorn. Then I start running reference, well, that's wild oats. Then I start running reference, that's buffalo. I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Gave the remnant the strength of the buffalo, so we don't have to fall to the same backdoor approach of the enemy. Be on guard. Watch. Be a watchman on the wall. Be careful. Watch yourself. Don't get caught up in all of these ways the enemy will pull and try to distract. Because there's a lot, excuse me, help me Lord. There's a lot of, there's a strong spirit of idolatry right now in the church culture, with a lot of what's going on in the world. So we got to be careful. Jesus must be the center of everything.
Amen.
Right.
Of our lives, that's where we put our allegiance, to Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? He's king.
Yeah.
There is a star that has come out of Jacob.
Amen.
The Messiah has already come. The scepter will rise out of Israel. The king has already, amen, come, and he's coming back to set his kingdom forever.
Yeah.
So we must be careful. That's why we got to run into the storm.
We got to face it head on. We can't turn around and run. You know how many times that I've wanted to turn around and run from the storm? I'm sure I'm not the only one. You see, we're like the cows. We can only run so fast, and then that storm's going to catch up with us. Again, you find yourself constantly. When it's crazy as it sounds, when you wait on the storm and then you run into the direction of the storm, amen, then you're going to get to the other side of it. Eventually, the storm clouds will run out.
Right.
And so God's telling us in this season to run into the storm. He's telling us in this time to run into the storm, to bring ourselves into that place of obedience, that we are willing to say, okay, God, where you lead, I will follow. I will go where you send me. I will stay where you say stay. I will trust where you say trust. I will wait while you say wait. But I will run into the storm because I have the strength. He has strengthened me because he brings me out. He brings me out wherever I need breakthrough. Praise God. He's so faithful.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad for his faithfulness tonight?
Yes.
Come on, put your hands together and bless him right now. Run into the storm. Don't run from it. Run into it. I believe it's a season for the body of Christ. I believe that it's a season. I don't believe that, again, there's a storm. It's not over. Storm's not over. We got to run into the storm as we see it. So we got to run into the storm. And I know tonight it's not easy. But guess what? It isn't supposed to be. But it also isn't so hard that it's impossible. So it's not pleasant. I personally hate being in the rain. I will not walk out in the rain willingly unless I'm forced to. There's nothing worse than being in a building or being at the grocery store. You go in, the sun's shining, you come out, and it's pouring. And of course, you parked 3 miles down. Remember that happened to me in the summer? I mean, it was pouring buckets, and so many of us were standing there. And I thought, I can't stand here. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for this. So I'm trekking. The water in the parking lot's already as deep. My shoes are soaked, sloshing. Everything, boxes, everything in the grocery. And the buggy's getting wet and all of that. And I get to the car, to my truck. And I don't want you just to live alone. There's people in there really going. All those others up there waiting. I kept saying, I gotta go. I'm like, all right, guys, I'm gonna do it. I'm going. And they're probably back here going. I would have just waited for a little bit longer. So it's not pleasant going into the storm and running into the storm. We don't ever know what we're going to face. But God said, I give you the strength to get through it. And He gave us the sense and the Holy Spirit to help us. So tonight, I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to truly understand that our God has already given us the victory. I want you to truly wrap your mind around the truth that His enemies are defeated. That the enemy, his head is already crushed. And that you are not in this thing alone. That you are not fighting this in vain. Don't try to run from the storm. Because you're going to have to keep looking back. You're going to have to keep guessing. And you miss. You can trip. And the pain and the anguish. Just the anxiety alone of not knowing. And having to feel like you have to keep looking back. And if you're looking back, you can't look ahead where you're going. But you wait until it gets right. And you turn and change direction and go run into the storm. Because you know somewhere on the other side of that storm is light. I would encourage you tonight in this moment, this season that we are in. We preached a couple of weeks ago about the season and how that it's unavoidable. It's one of God's ways of determining time and where we are. It determines sowing and reaping. It gets dark some days. Some days it feels like it's lasting so long. But God has strengthened you to run into the storm tonight. So if you want us to pray with you, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.